You're listening to Vatican Radio.
Egypt has seen a sharp rise in sectarian violence, with particular emphasis on Christians. This week, a Christian man was stabbed to death by a mob of Muslim men, causing tensions to rise within the Christian community, which has seen several attacks on both men and women in the last month alone. I spoke with Christian Solidarity Worldwide's Egypt Advocacy Officer to find out why there has been a sudden spike in violence and why there is little being done to resolve it.
Since 2013, where there was a very spiked record in attacks on Christians after the ouster of the Muslim Brotherhood, President Mohamed Morsi, actually, in Cairo and the main cities of Egypt, Alexandria, Christians have been much safer than that sort of spike in 2013. Unfortunately, in the governorates like Al Minya in Upper Egypt or Beni Souif, there are relatively regular, smaller scale sectarian attacks and instances of sectarian violence, largely against the religious minority Coptic Christian communities there. But it is true that perhaps in the last sort of 3 or 4 months or so, we have seen a spate of attacks against Christian communities for a number of reasons, often things like rumours of church buildings, houses being turned illegally into churches, or we've seen instances of rumours of romantic relationships between Christian men and Muslim women, with the Christian community at large then being held accountable for these rumours as well.
And what's the feeling among Christians in Egypt at the moment?
Christians that I speak to when we travel to Egypt are genuinely very encouraged and I think generally appreciative of the unifying rhetoric that comes from the top. The president of Egypt, Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, has made some really significant and very welcome statements towards the Christian community. Last year, he was the first president of Egypt in the country's history to attend a Coptic Christian mass on Christmas Eve in January in the Coptic calendar. And he gave a very encouraging message to the congregation and to the larger Christian population in Egypt, saying, let no one say, what sort of Egyptian are you? You are an Egyptian first and then a Christian second. He repeated this again in the Christmas just gone and actually gave an apology to the congregation and again to the Christians of Egypt, saying, we're sorry not to have made more progress in rebuilding the churches that were attacked and destroyed in 2013. So there's some really encouraging rhetoric coming from the top, and Abdel Fattah el-Sisi has done a very good job in reaching out to the Christian community. That said, the behaviour and the actions from those in the lower end of society, so those at the grassroots level, doesn't mirror the unity or the accommodating rhetoric of the president. And also the security services, I think something that we see in a lot of the attacks that happen against the Christian communities in Upper Egypt and out in the governorates, is that the security services are, if we're being generous, very slow to respond and often actually are ignoring the problem and letting the attacks occur and then coming in afterwards, imposing relatively rudimentary reconciliation measures, if anything at all, with no real ramifications or no real justice seen in any of the situations.
In your opinion, how can tensions be relieved between the Muslim and Christian communities in Egypt?
One of the problems which we at CSW have been calling for action on for some time now is the idea of these customary reconciliation meetings. So often what will happen, say in the instance of a time where there was a rumoured relationship going on between a Christian chap and a Muslim lady, what happened after a number of the houses in that community were burnt down and the church that the gentleman attended was also attacked, they hold something called these customary reconciliation meetings, where sort of village elders and religious leaders will all get together with the families and the representatives of those who were involved in the original incidents, and they will meter out an extrajudicial punishment basically to the family in order to try and reconcile the community together. These sessions aren't fair at all. They take place outside of the established legal system and also always, if you like, sort of further impound the injustice of the situation by targeting the minority party, which is usually the Christian community. So Christians often have to come out and apologize for something which they've not done. They're often expelled from their communities, are often expelled from their churches and also expelled from their homes and any land that they might own as well. So these customary reconciliation meetings are there to try and serve the purpose of de-escalating tensions, whereas what they often do is the opposite. They escalate tensions and also make sure that there's no real justice served in any of these situations, and that those guilty of the violations of things like burning down houses or sectarian violence actually enjoy impunity as opposed to going through the official court system of Egypt.
Pope Francis often speaks about the importance of interfaith dialogue. What sort of impact do his words have, and is his message heard within these communities?
Very much so. I mean, the Egyptians do place a lot of emphasis on the relations between communities, between different faith communities, and that's because within the Muslim community, actually, Egypt is a very integral country. There's the Al-Hazra University in Cairo, which is seen as the foremost seat of Sunni learning. They also issue various religious fatwas to the Sunni Islam community. And as far as the Christian community is concerned, you have the Orthodox Coptic Christian community there, go back to the days of St. Mark as well. So there's a real indigenous community of Christians in that country that, when instances do occur, feel especially put out because they're the indigenous people. So the governments of Egypt, I think, do take the message of people, say, like Pope Francis, but also Pope Touadras, the chief imam of the Al-Hazra University, that interfaith relations are important. And to that extent, they've established things such as an initiative called the House of the Egyptian Family. And the inference there is that there is a family of religious leaders and believers who are all Egyptian, and they come together as an Egyptian family first and foremost, and then the leaders of their respective religions. So an emphasis has been put on that, as Pope Francis has called for, by the Egyptian authorities. It's just a shame that it's not being taken up at a grassroots and community level, but these things need to come from the top relentlessly and constantly in order for them to slowly filter up from the bottom of society, for sure.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think just keep praying for Egypt. I'm slightly biased because I get to go there and see what a beautiful country it is, and see how generous, warm and genuinely funny the people are as well. But the country's been through a lot, and I think it's still going through a lot as well. And so pray for the leaders of Egypt, pray for Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, the president, but also Pope Touadras, the leader of the Coptic Church in Egypt as well, that he and his parishioners that follow the Orthodox Church might be emboldened by their faith and know the comfort, especially at these difficult and slightly uncertain times as well.
That was the Egypt Advocacy Officer for Christian Solidarity Worldwide. I'm Georgia Gogarty.